Welcome to Doctor's Orders with your host, Dr. Baker. Now let's join today's program.
Hello, everyone. Happy Tuesday, which we call Tech Tuesdays here on Doctor's Orders. I'm really excited about today's show as we're going to feature a national business, and we have in-house today, Andre Smith, and he's going to talk to us a little bit about his company, Chosen, and what he's created. So I'm really excited about that dialogue. As a reminder, all of you that are listening today, if you have any business ailments, if you have any questions, if you want to talk to our guest, our call-in number is 859-291-2255. Once again, that's 859-291-2255. And so with Tech Tuesdays, just to set the stage and the parameters, we want to look at how technology is changing our lives and our current era so much more significantly today than it's ever been. And so we want to look at just the different aspects that exist around technology, how that affects small business. And as a reminder, small business is $50 million and under, 500 employees or less, is that we're looking at how technology changes our lives, how do we leverage it, how do we use it. And there's just so many misnomers regarding technology. I think in the minds of so many people that I speak with, we think that technology is the end-all be-all to how we should operate and run our business. But for those of you out there that rely on technology, we can also figure out or have experienced that it's a gift and it's a curse together. I don't know how many of you all have experienced this from day to day. I know that I have. But when the technology is working, it's wonderful. And when it isn't, it's not. It could be the biggest headache ever. Not to mention learning new ways of doing things could definitely be tough on a business owner or a franchise or a corporation. And so our perspective and our viewpoints towards technology is really important to have. I would also say in today's climate, we're also looking at just the wave of how people do work. And when I say how they do work, it used to be a time when you would go into the factory, if you will. I'm from Detroit originally, and so the big three, Chrysler, General Motors, you know, those were jobs, Ford, those were jobs that people desired to get into, and then they would work inside the factory for their entire life. But now we live in a climate where technology now reigns supreme, and so understanding technology, new jobs are being created around the realm of technology, inventions are happening at a much more rapid pace. So intellectual property is important. And if you were listening yesterday and we were talking about legal ramifications, well, your intellectual property and how you claim that intellectual property is vitally important, whether it's for a new entrepreneur or whether it's for an established business or even big business, is how do you claim the technology that you have in order to make it work for you? You know, one thing that I find very, you know, awesome about today's climate is that taxis have existed forever. And I'm going to date myself here, but bootlegging was something. I don't know how much you guys know about bootleggers, and I'm not talking about alcoholic bootleggers. I'm talking if you were looking for a ride, you could bootleg a ride. And that bootleg ride meant that you had the phone number of a person that you could call in a certain neighborhood or community. They would come get you and take you to where you were going. They were not a taxi service. They just use their personal car as a way to make $5, $10, $15 extra dollars on rides that they would give throughout the community. Well, Uber took technology, as we all know, and I'm using them as the familiar example, and they changed what the taxi service looked like. They changed what the under-the-table bootlegging service looked like, and they did it through an integral way of technology design that would allow anyone to go and make a career at some level, or at least have a job or a gig inside of their technology, while also providing a service that we could use nationally. And then there were other companies that decided that the ride-sharing technology would be something we should all engage in. And this is very, very unique to our world at this time, because over the last 10 years, everything has now morphed into technology. If we look at how we receive our food, obviously DoorDash, Uber Eats is a part of that. But even how you book reservations in hotels has everything to do with technology and the integration of technology into our lives. I know I'm not telling you anything that you are unaware of. However, what I am stating is that we have to be focused on it. We have to understand how it applies to us in our personal life. But even more so as a business owner, we really need to understand what that looks like for our business and how we're able to progress. I was having a very good conversation earlier with one of my attorneys, and as we were discussing a few realities, we were looking at the post office, and the post office is near and dear to me because my father retired from the post office 2 years, and I was essentially raised on the income that my father brought in from the United States Postal Service in downtown Detroit. And so I would listen to what the Postal Service was doing, and it just behooved me that the Postal Service doesn't own email. You know, you think about how email is just this open technology source code that we've been able to take advantage of now for a quarter of a century. There's no way in my mind that the post office allowed someone else to participate in the invention of that and how they did not monopolize that. When you look at what Amazon is doing, and Jeff Bezos began as just selling books in a much more distributed fashion through technology, and then it morphed into the behemoth that we know of today. There's no way possible that the U.S. Post Office did not participate in a way that allowed them to control that part of the industry as well. And so them not embracing, when I say them, the U.S. Postal Service, not embracing technology, not having the right engineers, not having enough vision and wherewithal to say, this is how we're going to participate in the future of our business, is costing the U.S. Postal Service all of their market share because they have not engaged with technology in a way that makes them relevant. And if we go from industry to industry, we find out that technology has changed industries in ways that we know we can't go back in. Give you another example. If you go to the automotive industry, companies like Carvana and Vroom have changed how people buy vehicles. And so they've changed those ways by offering dealerships that would be virtual and online. And then the entire process is done through technology. Well, that changes how many actual humans go into a dealership to make their purchase. So now dealerships have to be smarter. They have to be savvy enough to combat this new entrant, this new threat. And so this is what technology does. You know, while we're speaking on that, and we're going to talk about this a little bit more in the future, but I invented a technology called Auto Wallet that we will be introducing later on this year, but I am also going to change how the automotive industry is done based on technology and other advancements that the entire industry has ignored for years. We've researched it at a high level for the last 4.5 to 5 years, and I know for a fact that this technology is going to improve the way that people buy cars by 85% and increase the satisfaction of the entire process. But what's funny to me is that the solution is right under the noses of the automotive industry, but they ignore it based on how they view technology. And so what I'm imploring to any business owner out there today is let's really examine our personal views of technology. How do you see it in your business? How do you see it in your personal life? What are some new and inventive ways that you believe that you can operate? How can you take things that are currently existing and then make them a part of your daily regimen so therefore your business can then reap the benefits of what technology has to offer? And so with that, I want to introduce today's guest as he's taking technology and he's applying it to a familiar concept, but in a very different way. So I'd like to introduce to everybody out there, Andre Smith, the founder of Chosen. Andre, how you doing today?
I'm doing good, Dr. Baker. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. I'm really excited to have you on the show so we can talk about Chosen. I know a lot about Chosen. I know a lot about what you've done over the last few years to build Chosen out and to be able to bring it to the market in a very comprehensive way. I'm not going to tell any of your story, though. I want you to take the time and tell all the listeners what you've done and tell us about Chosen.
Absolutely. Chosen is a tech company that we're focused in helping people be the best version of themselves in context to the people that we love the most. So whether it's your friend, family, significant other, we all have people that are important to us and we need to show up for them how they need to have the best relationship with them. And it helps us be the best version of ourselves. So that was really my passion. I really saw it as that it was tied to the mental health crisis that we had in the country, and really wanted to figure out a way that we could solve big problems in the world through tech.
Well, you know, one thing that I love about Chosen, and to sum it up very simply, is that it's a relationship enhancement tool. And when we talk about relationship enhancement, I know that most people immediately think of, well, it's a dating app. But that's not quite exactly what it is, AJ, is, or Andre, is it? Can you kind of walk us through how relationships actually look inside of Chosen and the diversity of Chosen?
Yes, absolutely. I would say that is definitely the first impression when I'm out having conversations with either customers or partners, you know, is that whenever you say relationship, our first immediate reaction is about a person's romantic life. But where I started the first version of Chosen was taking a person's relationship goals and starting with asking them, what relationship do you want to work on? So family, friends, self, or romantic. And, you know, because all of those play into who you are as a person. And then from there, asking them, okay, now that we know that you want to work on self, what goals within yourself would you like to work on? So maybe it's financial literacy. You know, maybe it's your self-care routine. And then 3 times a week, we'll send a nudge via text message of a suggestion, a practical solution of steps that you can take to reach your goal. And then every 30 days, you're able to reset your goal and choose either another relationship type or another goal as well.
What I think is fantastic about what you've created and what you stated, and I want to park it here for a moment, is looking at the different relationship types. So we've already mentioned self, so let's stay there. I know that dealing with relationships, the hardest person to deal with is the person you're with all the time, which is yourself. And there are things that you have to do in order to make sure you're the best version of you. And what I'm hearing you say, what I know Chosen to do, but for the listeners out there, is that Chosen will make sure that you enhance your relationship with yourself, correct?
Yes, absolutely. You know, because, yeah, we do spend quite a time with ourselves. And I think even as I was, you know, working with relationship professionals and psychologists to, you know, develop these nudges, you know, there was times that it was difficult for me to work on because I'm answering some of these questions, you know, that are going into the content and all of these nudges, you know, start with a conversation between me and a relationship professional. And so, you know, sometimes that can be really hard to be introspective, you know, as you go and you reflect on various things throughout your life.
Well, once we look at self, I know another very strong dynamic in a person's life is their family. You know, what is your relationship like with your mother or your father? What is that relationship like with your siblings? What was your upbringing like? What is the culture of where you come from? That plays a strong position in the healthy reality of all your relationships. Talk to us about how Chosen assists there.
Yeah, so one of the things that your family dynamics come play in, the behavioral science community calls it the attachment, your attachment style. And so whether you're avoidant or whether you're secure, you show up in all of your relationships based on you know, how you grew up, how you were raised, and the dynamics within those relationships that you saw modeled for you. And so it really takes a lot of effort to change that aspect of yourself. You know, and you can do better, but it's going to kind of want to be those things that's kind of always lurking in the background that, you know, without constant diligence, it's very easy to slip back into routines not based on necessarily your current view of things, but your attachment style of you know, how you saw love growing up.
You know, when you think about it, you might be aware of it at some level, but just because you're aware, you may be uncertain on what to do. I know that I can speak for levels of the black community only because I've done the research and I've talked to literally countless therapists about how older black men actually shun counseling. They don't go see therapists as much. And so because of that, let's say you recognize some of the damages or the inadequacies in your relationships, but just because you recognize it does not necessarily mean you'll do something about it. So therefore, having technology assist you with that is at least a step in the right direction. Would you agree?
Oh, yeah. As a black male, I definitely know that it took me, some time to get comfortable with the idea of therapy. Even if you get over that discomfort and you go, then when you're back home and with yourself and your own thoughts, you still got to figure out how do I actually apply what I learned in a session to your daily life, and how does that impact your various relationships, whether professionally or personally. They all can affect how we show up.
Well, in that case, that leads right to the romantic level of relationship. And there's a lot of dating apps that will help you find someone, whether that person's a good match or not. They're all competing for market share to vie for your attention to say, come meet a cool person or a great person or your next spouse or partner here. But Chosen doesn't necessarily do that. They're not concerned, as Chosen's not concerned about who you meet, but they're more concerned about how you stay together based on those that you've already met or have a relationship with already. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. So all of these dating apps will definitely, introduce you to somebody. But the steps that you take to have a healthy relationship, all are going to happen, are going to have to happen the same way, whether you meet somebody in person or you meet somebody within an app. You need to establish healthy boundaries in your relationship. And so one of the things that I did for Valentine's Day, we had a 7-day love challenge that I created with a certified sex coach we literally gave tools. And so you could do it both partnered as well as solo, but we gave them 7 days of activities to do either with themselves or with a partner that really walked you through with, like, what are your wants and needs out of a relationship? And then, of course, if you were doing that with a partner, making it easier in a guided form to help understand what the needs of your partner really was, and giving you the tools to communicate what your needs were as well.
Talk to me a little bit about the feedback that you received based on building out the platform Chosen. And for those that you've allowed, whether it was through the research stage, the prototype stage, the launch stage, talk to me about what have people said about just their participation inside of the app, or what that means for them to follow, whether it's nudge theory or some of the other realities that you created for the app.
So I think some of the key feedback that I got was that it wasn't so overbearing to where someone felt like they were being told what to do, because they were in charge of what they said their goals were. So I'm not sending them nudges based on what I want or what a relationship professional thinks is important. You know, they're in complete control over what they say that they want. And so our goal is only to give them the tools to be successful at what they say they want. And so the nudge is just enough to get them to rethink, or to put it top of mind to where maybe they forgot. Life is busy, life is hectic. We have due dates at work, and maybe we don't necessarily always show up, whether that's for ourselves or for others, to when we're well-rested and can be completely tuned in and emotionally available. And so it was a good reminder at the beginning of the day that just reminded them how to show up.
Understood. And talk to me a little bit, because you made a statement that I thought was very interesting regarding a person setting out their goals. I know that I talk about goals all the time. It's actually one of the steps that we have when we're given a patient exam And for those of you out there, I own the only business hospital in the world. And so I actually treat businesses just as your physician would treat your body. And so when I'm working with my patients, one of the questions we ask or the steps we go through are the clarification of goals. You would be surprised and shocked how many business owners do not have written or clear, succinct goals for what they want to accomplish in their business. You will literally hear, and this is even from larger companies, we just want to make more money. Well, like, yeah, right. We know that. We clearly know you want to make more money, hence the reason why you're in business, knucklehead. However, what are your short-term goals? What are your long-term goals? What are some ancillary goals that maybe it's not part of the main mission, but it would be nice to accomplish? And in that instance, they literally look like a deer in headlights thinking, man, I've never sat down and really covered them. So if we take that same logic and we apply it to relationships, I'm really interested in knowing how many platonic friends have ever sat down and said, I kind of want to outline the goals of our relationship. You know, I'd like to see you some more. I'd like to go to the movie sometimes. I'd like to catch a game with you because you're my favorite game partner or teammate or whatever it is you want to term it, but literally have a goal in mind as it relates to, this is how I'm going to interact with my siblings. This is how I'm going to interact with my neighbor. This is how I'm going to interact with my coworkers. And I think that that's very interesting that that's a part of the technology inside of Chosen, is to help people, number one, acknowledge and identify those goals, but then two, make them accountable for those goals.
Yeah, because so many times we will say things that like, oh, this would be nice to have, but then that follow through and that reminder of, oh, it actually takes action to improve a relationship or to maintain a relationship, you know, whether it's a family, a friend, or your romantic life. And I think all of those can be influenced by, you know, are we taking self-care for ourselves as well important? And so very few people actually are, you know, writing down their goals, you know, and then actually checking them off and like holding themselves accountable. And so, yeah, it's really tough to do. And there's not, there hasn't been an all-inclusive technology solution that really helped to aid that. Because really, if you look at social media and all of our communication tools, they really haven't evolved in the sense of they don't necessarily help you make better communication decisions in real time. So, you know, no matter whether you had a phone on the wall or you have a phone in your pocket or now you have a video through your computer, there's nothing on the screen that necessarily is teaching you how to show up as the best version of yourself or, you know, what are the unique personality of the person that you're in front of, how to show up for them based on who they are.
And so the technology isn't so much showing you that, but it's helping you navigate through those ways. Is that right?
Yes, giving you the tools to do that with a greater level of emotional intelligence than you could do humanly just off memory.
Now, when you talk about the tools, we talked a little bit about nudge theory. What are one or two other, I would say, features of Chosen that someone should be excited about that would force them to download the platform?
So we wanted to create something in a way that people were not spending hours on it a day. And so the reason why I went with the direction of creating it as a web app as opposed to something that you downloaded was I wanted to remove the barrier of that multiple-step process of even downloading something. I want people to literally just, if you go to chosen.io, you immediately can go ahead and say what relationship that you want to work on and choose your goals. And really make it as simple as possible to go through the onboarding process, you know, as opposed to, you know, having to go and download something and then have multiple steps before you even get a chance to create your goals. And so that might have taken 5 minutes if I went the direction of, oh, I only can provide the solution via an app store, as opposed to, you know, let's create a web app and how do we get you the information that you're asking for as quick as possible.
You know, that's a really unique way of terming it, and the reason why I'm calling it unique is I work with startup founders, entrepreneurs on a daily basis, and one request that comes into the hospital, the business hospital that is, literally nearly every day, is I want to create an app. And so you named some cons as it relates to an app. We're going to talk about some more here after the break. But one of them is that it is multiple steps and that you have to find it. I mean, I've created apps and I understand exactly what you're saying, but the good old web browser is still getting things done in a very efficient and sufficient way. Is you type in chosen.io, now all of a sudden you're there and it's time for you to start working on relationships almost immediately. And that is a pro, because when we look at where we are as a society, we really like convenience. You know, there's a commercial out there, and I can't remember exactly who it is. It might be J.G. Wentworth or someone. I can't remember who it is, but I told the listeners yesterday I will watch a couple commercials to learn. But the depiction is that the actor doesn't like to wait. So they ordered food. Mm-hmm. They feel like the food is taking too long. They put popcorn in the microwave. It's taking too long. They want to download something. It takes too long. And even though it's satirical, it still is very accurate from a stereotypical standpoint of how we are as a society, is that we do want things quickly. And so I'm hearing you tell the listeners is that you can get to it quickly and you start working on relationships immediately.
Exactly. And even how we deliver the nudges, you know, I didn't go the route of, you know, because I didn't go the route of putting an app in the app store, I can deliver those nudges to you via text message. So it just removes that barrier of you getting the nudge. You know, you don't have to go log into the app every day to get the nudge. It'll come directly to you via text message. And it's a quick 1 to 2 sentences of a reminder to just plant that seed in your brain, you know, as you get your day started, you know, so that you can remember that as you go into your day and put your goals at the top of mind.
What about emails or calendars? Does Chosen work in those ways as well? And let me qualify my question. As I know that in some people's lives, and especially in mine, if it's not on my calendar, it doesn't get done. If it is my email box, I make sure that it's removed. And so in that case, I know there's a lot of people that, yeah, let's go out on Friday. It doesn't hit the calendar, and they forgot they were supposed to go somewhere on Friday. What does Chosen do about that type of behavior?
Yeah, so that is definitely in the roadmap to integrate your social life into the design of the platform, to not only remind you that you have social time planned, but then also how to actually show up for that individual based on your uniqueness as well as theirs. So it's definitely in the roadmap to do. We have not launched that particular feature yet, but it's in the roadmap to do, and I definitely have had conversations with some of the calendar companies to figure out, you know, how to best implement their solution via API to add that integration, you know, not only for how we're spending it socially, but meeting our, you know, making sure that you're making time for other areas of your life, whether that's, you know, exercise or your time with your coach or therapist as well.
You know, it's unique, the culture we're in. I'm going to go ahead and highlight another commercial. So you guys probably think I watch too much television, and I promise you that's not true. But there's one where these two Western guys are kind of out, and they're about to have a shoot-off. And I think it's Geico. But they can't have the shoot-off because it's not in the calendar. And so they both pull their calendars out, and now they're trying to overschedule, and they can't really deal with it, right? And so I think about where we are once again as a society is that we actually need tools to help govern our life. So with our social media age, the fact that we are in a gig economy, the fact that we are overstimulated, and when I say overstimulated, if any of you listeners have children, You know exactly what I mean. Is the moment you take them bowling, while you're bowling, they want to know what the next activity is. And if you've done something yesterday, they want to do something again today, which that was not my reality growing up, but I promise you that's what's happening now, is that how do you maintain the social life, the social activities, and how do you integrate that into life actually becomes very important for your technology. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, 100%. You've got to make time for those social aspects, and it's even better if you make the time to be emotionally intelligent about how to spend that time as well.
Absolutely. We're going to take a quick station identification promotional break real quick before we jump into the next part of the segment. And this first segment was brought to you once again by Pro Elite Training. Pro Elite Training is the proprietary software on how to train athletes through the metronome of music to increase rhythm, tempo, and pace. You can find it in your app store and in your Play Store. You can also find it at www.getproelite.com. Pro Elite is one word, the word pro and the word elite, one word, and that is Pro Elite Training. Train with NBA athletes, train with NFL athletes, train with pro fighter and bare knuckle champion Tony Johnson Jr. All through Pro Elite Training. Learn how to do any combination off of any music. It's a freemium app, which means that you can do hundreds of drills for free. Just download it or go to the website today. That's called Get Pro Elite, Pro Elite Training. So any callers out there, I just want to make sure that I am including you. We would love to hear from you. So once again, you can reach us by calling 859-291. And let me get the rest of that phone number. That's 859-251-2255. 859-291-2255. If there's any questions about technology, how to launch an app, any reality concerning your business, give us a call. We'll assist you right now live on the air. So, Andre, what I want to transition to now is I want to talk about the business aspect of Chosen. And obviously, you're divulging whatever it is you feel free to divulge here, but I want the audience to get a sense of what it's like to not only be a business owner, but to also create a technology company and then launch that company from scratch. And so there's a lot of components that exist there. What I want to know first and what I want the listeners to hear is, what did you find to be the most difficult phase of creating this company and then launching it to get it to market?
Oh, man, that's a really good question. I mean, I think some of the challenges is when you're coming from outside of it, of an industry, you know, maybe you don't feel as confident that you know about every solution that's out there. And so, you know, you're maybe asking questions that, you know, when you say them out loud, you know, maybe in retrospect, you know, they feel a little dumb. You know, figuring out how each industry is financed. You know, and understanding the differences that come into play and that might influence how you build something. And so I would say that those are probably the two that were the initial challenges in the process.
Now, when we talk about the finance part of it, I know from experience through research and just through high-level business acumen that almost no one is prepared to have a company function well enough financially. You are always off the market. When I say off the market, meaning that if you plan for $100, it's actually going to cost you $200. No matter how much you try to narrow those dollars down, it's never quite right for a myriad of reasons, which we'll talk about in a moment. But just kind of share with us, Andre, what did that look like for you when it came to, you know what, I'm going to build this technology for X amount of dollars. Were you grossly under? Were you close to it? Was it a battle and a fight throughout the entire time? What did that process look like in generalities?
Yeah, so I think one of the biggest things was thinking that I needed to put something in the App Store and that no product existed before it existed in the App Store. And so if you go the route of thinking that, then, you know, you think that you need to spend $250,000before you have a business and before you have a product. And with so many tools exist now, you can do stuff a lot more capital. And so you can significantly reduce that by, you know, looking at, like, how do we do this via a web app? You know, can I deliver the information via text message or email? Can I create a weekly Zoom meeting or some other social media, social audio? So whether it's Twitter Spaces or Clubhouse, you know, can I get a group of future users together and have a conversation about, you know, what their wants and needs are, what struggles they are having in, you know, that particular domain. And so, you know, I think that was one of the biggest things that I had to change in my head was, you know, realizing that there's a lot of stuff that can be done without something being in the app store.
Well, I think in that case, you're also discussing pros and cons, even subconsciously. Because there's reasons as to why you would want to have something in the app store, and then there's reasons why you would not want to, but whether you decide to or not is going to come with a cost at one level or not. There are some users that spend their lives in the app stores, and they don't go to web browsers as much. So you have to quantify, I'm going to lose this amount of my target audience in exchange for what? And then that's when you start looking at sunk cost or hidden cost of the business of saying that maybe I'll capture them down the road, but right now there's more than enough in my target audience for me to participate in the early stage. Therefore, I can generate revenue and then capture them later. Was any of that a part of your thinking along the way?
That was definitely a part of my thinking. But I also think that one of the things that kind of came to mind was, what if I build this, you know, let's just call it $250,000 product, and I put it in the app store and nobody comes? Then I would have built something without getting that user feedback during the build process. And it is a lot easier to do if you can go ahead and have people start interacting with a product prior to you know, going through that process to make sure that you're building the right thing for the right user. You know, because of course I will eventually be, you know, in the app store, you know, both for the iOS and Android, but also you have other things like Zoom apps, you have Slack apps, other things like that that I'll also explore, but before you build out all of those different versions, it's best to find that product market fit as early as possible, and do that without without going the direction of spending that $250, you know, or that time capital that it would take to do so.
Well, you talk about two things that I think are vital for our listeners to hear and understand. Is number one, when Andre Smith says $250. He's not throwing that number out because it's just a random number that's a whole number and sounds really cool to say, is that it could cost you $250,000 to develop an app. And just to let you know, we've actually built apps that cost significantly more than that. And I find it very, very unique when I get a potential patient to come in and they say, hey, all I want to do is just create an app that does this. Well, the moment you say all I want or all you have to do, I know that your statement is incorrect the next thing that you say, because it's never just all, meaning that it's not a simple task. I had one gentleman come to us at one time out of Colorado, and they wanted to build out a concept that really sounded fantastic at one level, but I promise you listeners out there, it would have cost no less than $500 million to build. And when I went through the diagnosis to share with them that the very thing they were requesting was going to be no short of $500 million, they really couldn't understand it, but they were missing realities such as licensing rights and APIs to some of the largest entities in the world. And when I say API, just a technical way of connecting to retrieve data and have data speak to one another with some of the largest entities that they would have had to get permission from. And those were things that they had never accounted for. And when you are talking about the step that you took to use a progressive web app, and to the listeners, a progressive web app essentially is a website, but it functions like an app. And so therefore, it's got multiple layers of functionality that help with what we call the user experience, how you see it, how you engage with it, the ease of use, but it's not quite an app. And therefore, it shrinks your cost because it's made inside of a browser. Well, to your original point, Andre, is that if you don't know that that exists, you're going to go the route that you believe that you're most familiar with. And we see a lot of startup founders that hang themselves up on that. And not just startup founders. There are large companies that don't always understand the differences of how technology is made. And they may want to launch an app to be able to handle market share, not knowing that a progressive web app would be able to do the exact same thing for them, but at the fraction of the cost. So I think that was a valuable lesson that you learned, and one that you've been able to stand on in order to be able to get to market with what we call is your MVP, your minimal viable product. And if you guys want to learn more about MVP, I guess it's not a shameless plug because it's my show. Go to my website on drbaker.us/bookstore. And one of the 6 books that I have written is How to Get to Market with Your MVP. It is a textbook on how to launch a company, and we're going to cover, or it covers, realities that even Andre Smith is talking about with what he had to do with Chosen to get a product to market for the least amount of money in order to validate his concept and build a user base. I want to transition for a moment, Andre, if you don't mind, and talk to me a little bit about the human nature of being a startup founder. Now, you are what I would deem, and most people would deem, a solopreneur. But you didn't always start out that way. Is that right?
Yeah. I've had other entrepreneurial experiences to where I was a part of a team and, going and helping another founder with their idea and their vision. And now I'm on the other side of that where I'm leading the vision. I get an opportunity to recruit partners and co-founders and those first early employees as well.
And what you've been able to find is that working with a team is awesome and terrible at the same time when you're trying to create something of large magnitude. Am I correct in saying that?
Oh, man, yeah, because if you have a different vision, somebody has to break the tie of, where the vision is going to go or who has the last call on that. And so, sometimes the power dynamics and people competing against each other for that power, definitely can not be the greatest process and can lead to terrible outcomes, if you don't manage them properly.
Well, when we talk about technology, oftentimes people just look at the product itself and think that that's what they're working with as a product. But I remind people is that, no, you're still working with a company. It's not just a product. And so in that case, because you're dealing with a company, you still have company issues in human resources, human capital management, financial woes, all of those, the same things that go into having a tire shop are the exact same things that go into having a platform or any other level of technology. Is once you create the company, you have to manage the company. And so what new things have you learned as it relates to being essentially on your own, and what have you benefited from that?
So I think the biggest thing was being able to get far enough along in my vision of what I wanted the company to be, getting user feedback so that I can make better decisions in who I want and need. As early stage employees or even co-founders. So it allows me to really think through who do I want and need. So there was a point as I was designing Chosen that the product could go in multiple areas. And so it would dramatically influence where I needed to devote human capital as well as financial capital. And so if it went one direction, that means that I needed to hire a significant amount of therapists. But if the product in the beginning goes in a different direction, then my focus needs to be on machine learning and AI and more of the design aspect of it than, you know, a significant amount of building out a network of 1,000 therapists. And so, you know, those are things that I was able to think through and be unbiased in that decision because I didn't have those other parties that were there, that because that was their expertise, that they were voting for the product to go in a certain direction, and allows me to really be able to listen to customers and users and make better business decisions of how I, you know, where I need to invest my human capital and financial capital.
But you talk about two aspects that I think are very important for our listeners to catch up on. That's why I'm going to bring them back. Is you only named two directions that you could have gone, and I imagine there could have been more. But if you would have decided that, hey, I'm going to put 1,000 therapists in here, and I'm going to have a high-level network of therapists, and they're going to work through how to manage these relationships, and that's one business model. Or I'm going to have machine learning, artificial intelligence, if you will, and that's going to assist too. Well, both of those carry a massive cost connotation to how you develop this app, right?
Oh, absolutely.
And looking at that, I want to add to this before you answer, is that I don't know your family background. So I don't know your mom or your father. I don't know about your uncles. But I just kind of believe that you didn't have an unlimited budget. Right? You're in agreement with me on that, right?
That is 100% correct. I did not.
Right. So without an unlimited budget, you have to determine, well, you know, it'd be cool to have machine learning in this thing. It'll grow with you as you respond, as you behave. However, having that type of technology has a price tag north of, oh, my goodness. And then if you said, well, we'll grab humans and we'll put those humans in here, but now we have to pay all of those humans. And oh, by the way, all of them are either certified or degreed, which means that I'm paying them even more to make sure the credibility of my platform is sound. Talk to me about what the fundraising process looked like for you and how you went through some of that decision-making for the benefit of our listeners.
Yeah, so I think the, you know, even though I had the, you know, what some might view as a disadvantage of not having an unlimited budget, also meant that I couldn't just run 100 different experiments with no focus. And then the other thing with that, so my degree is actually in financial management. And so most of my professional career has been either in people management or operations. And so I really looked at the mental health solution or the mental health market as it is a math problem. And because I'm not a relationship professional, I wasn't going to fall in love with any one particular solution. It is about what is going to be the best for the user and get them to the best version of themselves in the quickest time for them. And it also has to be sustainable, you know, because if you create a great solution, but it's not something that people are willing to pay for and it's not sustainable, you know, then ultimately it's not going to benefit very many people. And so really kind of thinking through those things on a step-by-step basis of, you know, running small experiments, you know, having focus group, having conversation with users, you know, all of those things help shape the direction that it can go. And then you can go investigate, okay, well, how much would it cost to deliver that solution to them? And are there multiple ways to deliver that solution?
Absolutely. And when you think about business, you know, you're always thinking about barriers, obstacles, issues that may arise. And I tell business owners at every level, from micro and boutique to large companies, that attrition is a part of it. Perseverance is a part of it. I was having a conversation with my brother, and he just started a trucking company. I'm so proud of him. Deck 7 Logistics. And when he started his trucking company, he and I had talked a lot about what was it going to take for him to legitimately compete in that industry that at some level has saturation, but at another level is still wide open for opportunity. And he didn't understand what it meant at first, but once he got into it and he got entrenched in the daily work and all the obstacles that exist, he said, my goodness, brother, I mean, every day I'm throwing punches at something to make sure that we can continue to move forward. And so I'm always reminding business owners that this is what it really looks like. So on your end, what I'd like the listeners to hear, what are some of the things that literally punched you in the face while you were working over? And I want to say this is, what are we talking, Andre? 3-4 years that you've been on this journey, if not longer, yeah. of what has punched you in the face, literally has kicked you in the stomach, that has said you probably should quit, but you said, nah, not this time. I'm going to go ahead and run through this.
Yeah, absolutely. So I would say I have two stories. One would be, what you now see as Chosen, my first initial entry into tech. Because of my previous entrepreneurial experience, I really thought that I could just create a prototype, design it out, and then take it to somebody and, get 7 figures, if not 8 figures, to build it out and to acquire market share. And I really thought it would be that simple. And I was definitely rudely mistaken. But I think part of it was my previous experience of when I got hit in the chest. And so I think I'd already experienced failure. And so it was just like, oh, okay, this is not how it's going to work in this industry. And so therefore, I need to reevaluate what is the best way to get to the end result that I had. And then I would say the first time that I really got punched in the gut, and I knew that entrepreneurship was still a passion of mine, was the experience that I had with an embalming fluid startup that I was a part of. And it ended up not going through during due diligence. And that was for an 8-figure check that would have immediately changed the lives of generations. And as long as people died every year, my future generations would have hundreds of millions of dollars. And having that failure, any failure that I go to going forward, if it's smaller than that, it's like, okay, I've already been here. I've been punched in the chest harder than this and have, lost opportunities that were bigger than this. And it's a matter of keeping things in perspective.
Well, I think, what I tell folks and, being a parent, I certainly tell my children this, is that you don't have to touch the stove just to prove that it's hot. You don't have to do right. that. Yeah. Right. So if you know someone that says, look, that stove right there is hot, don't touch it. Well, now you're dealing with, is it a rebellious spirit? Do you not trust the person that told you? Is seeing only believing for you? And in the world of business ownership, it is vitally important, and I'm actually handing this prescription out to the listeners, that you are learning every day and every moment from all the other examples that are already given to you. So let me remind everyone of what we talked about yesterday, is that if your legal foundation is not sound, you open yourself up to risk. Well, due diligence, which is a word that Andre Smith just mentioned, has a lot to do with legal ramifications. And if you don't pass the due diligence process through legal and through financial strategists, guess what? You can't progress forward. And excuse me, what Andre is mentioning as a multiple time founder of a company that has dissolved, but another one that is still progressing, is that he literally has lost an opportunity that would have been generational in nature because of legal and financial strategy implications, things that were not formally set out throughout the due diligence process. And this is a reality of known information. When I talk about known information, meaning that we don't have to reinvent the wheel regarding due diligence. We don't have to reinvent the wheel when it comes to wireframing. You might say, what's wireframing? How you build out your digital technology. You don't have to reinvent the wheel on a pro forma. What's a pro forma, Doc? Well, it's all your financial assumptions that go into your balance sheet and your cash flow documents, on and on. Point is, this stuff is known. So if you don't know it, let's get somewhere, preferably me, call Dr. Baker, but if not, find someone else, and we'll help you deal with the things that are known so you can minimize these errors, because I promise you, as a business owner of any level, you're going to run into attrition. You know, I watch a lot of CNN as I look at my current events, and was looking at CNN Plus. And CNN, I think we all know, is a massive, massive entity. They launched CNN Plus and put millions upon millions of dollars into this launch. I'm talking tens of millions of dollars, only for it to fail within the first year. 300 million. Thank you for that, yeah. Andre. Is that no they problem. Put 300 million in that, and they literally failed within that first year. There was some identification issues that they had. This is an error that CNN made. So we know that Sue and Tom are making that error in a mom and pop shop. We know that a startup founder is making this error. So what I'm submitting to you is that make sure that you tackle the known realities. Don't think you know, meaning that I'm kind of guessing, I kind of feel like I know. We need you to know, because the unknowns are going to bring as much trouble with them as possible. Andre, before we leave and I give them my final prescription for the day, remind us of where we can find Chosen. Tell us anything else you want us to know about Chosen, so therefore everyone out there that's listening can go and download or subscribe or, you know, get the web app to be able to build their relationships better.
Yes. Just simply go to chosen.io and sign up for your relationship goals, and then we will send you nudges on how you can accomplish your goals. And then, you know, make a point of sharing your goals to your friends or family or people that you want to be accountable to, of like, hey, these are the goals that I'm working on this month. You know, what are you working on? And make a point of holding each other accountable to what you say that you want in your life.
If someone wants to contact you personally, whether it's for partnership opportunities, whether it's to learn more, how do they do that?
Yeah, you can reach out to me via email, ajsmith@chosen.io. You can reach me on Twitter DMs. It's Andre Chosen is the handle. Or IG, you can reach me through the business account Chosen App. And that's Chosen without the E in there. So just in case, don't put the E. But yeah, just reach out to me in any of those areas, and love to chat with you.
Fantastic. Once again, thank you so much, Andre, for joining us today and sharing us about your journey with Chosen, the components of Chosen, why we should even care that it exists. I know that I do. I hope all of my listeners do as well. I wish you the best success. And literally, as we think about relationships, just know that Andre Smith combined technology and our overarching knowledge and science of relationships, combine them in a way that makes it accessible and simple for us to either enhance or repair any broken relationship that we may have. Once again, I think it's a great idea. Andre, thanks so much for coming on today.
Thanks so much for having me, and thanks for putting the content out to the people, because you know, my mistake could have been saved if I had the right coach and the right mentors, you know, one phone call away at that time. So thanks so much for doing this.
Absolutely. And so to everyone else, this has been another episode of Doctor's Orders. I just want to do a quick recap and understand that every Tuesday we will be talking about technology. If you have a business out there and you have issues with technology, or you have questions concerning technology, I will have an expert on, or at least a special guest, every single Tuesday talking about technology. My goal is that you're not afraid of it.
Thank you for joining us for Doctor's Orders. You can contact Dr. Baker by phone at 1-855-249-4677, by email at info@drbaker.us. You can learn more on our website at www.drbaker.us. Be sure to tune in every Monday through Friday at 2 p.m. right here on 1320 AM, 103.9 FM, and on www.1320thevoice.com.